Blog Talk Radio.
I was a hard drinking sinner with blood on my hands. I was a hard drinking sinner, a gun in my hands, drinking 40 pounds for dinner till I met a big man. And the man said, how do we do?
Out there. This is Ryan.
This is Angie.
And we are back and better than ever. Taking care of business on this New Year's
Day. As
usual. Heck yeah, first day of 2018. Whew.
It's going to be a good year.
Been pretty good so far. Hell yeah. It'd be a good year for us.
It hasn't been so bad. We've made it through.
Yeah, we made it. We survived first day, so we're good.
We survived day one.
Yeah, we got through it. Now we only have 364 more days to go, and we'll be saying Happy New Year 2019.
Yay!
But within the 365 days, we've got a lot of shit going on, don't we, babe?
So much happening. So
a lot
much
of cool stuff happening. And I'm very happy to announce that you will be joining me every week this from now on the Freakin' Awesome Paranormal
yeah.
Show, which is very
for a little bit.
Very, very cool.
Excited. Very excited.
It's good to have you, of course.
Well, of course, as always, it's good to be here.
Well, you know what? My brain is so fucking, like, mismatched because it's so cold. I just can't even think right now. It is frigid here in Richmond, Virginia. I know it's probably not as cold as it is in other places, but, you know, I'm a little bitch when it comes to coldness. I don't like it. I don't like being super hot either. It's just not good. Not good at all.
I'm actually cold in my house tonight. Like, I'm thinking about bumping up the heat a little bit, believe it or not.
You there.
Can we just set up better
now? I'm in shock right now.
I know, because I do enjoy the cold, especially when trying to sleep.
Yeah, I was experiencing about a hypothermia when I came over earlier today. I couldn't feel my legs. I was getting kind of scared. I was like, now I know how those people felt when they had those first, you know, those when you look at old pictures of like Antarctica or those like old expeditions like the Arctic Circle, and the guys' beards are like frozen and like there's like just frost and shit on their beards and they look like they're just completely miserable. That was me earlier today at your house.
Are you kidding me? That was me last night out in those woods. It was freezing cold. I thought like
that was
all balled
was a bit
up
ridiculous.
Down in the bottom of my. Oh, it was crazy.
That was a bit ridiculous.
He was like, "What is
but
going on?"
But you know
on?
What? That just proves how hardcore we are. Tell you what.
That's right.
I went. I did an investigation out at Edgewood Plantation. Like I guess it was two years ago. Led a team out there in Edgewood Plantation. If you get a chance to go out there, check it out. It's awesome. But it was the middle of February, and it was probably about the same temperature it was, you know, last night. But I didn't have the option to go inside. So I spent an hour outside leading a team. And the whole time I was out there, I was just thinking, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. I don't care. I don't care if a fucking ghost walks right past me. I don't want to get any kind of EVPs because I am so cold right now. I'm afraid if we get some more cool stuff, they'll make me stay out here longer. This is all the stuff that I was thinking in my head. Of course, you know, I actually did the investigation. But, I mean, yeah. At least we had the option.
Like, please just let this be over. Oh, yeah, I couldn't have taken it much longer. Like, I was, yeah. When I start cramping,
it's
time to go inside.
Yeah,
I couldn't even feel
my
feet.
It's hard to investigate in the cold because you just don't care. That's the thing. You don't care about all you think about is how cold it is. Well, for me personally, I think about how cold it is. Everything else is just like whatever. And yeah, late we dress warm. It's not like we sat out there and we don't start, you know, we put layers on. It just wasn't enough.
Oh yeah, there were plenty of layers. There were plenty of layers going on.
Whole lot of layers going on.
Oh yeah, so, three jackets, a sweatshirt, a t-shirt, and a tank top.
Besides freezing,
that's a
outside,
lot of clothes. Yeah,
we had a good New Year's Eve party at the cabin.
Good times were had by all. It was very exciting.
Yes they were. Wanted to give everyone thanks everyone for coming out and bringing heaters because the heat actually broke down at the cabin. So thanks to everyone who came out and actually brought heaters. That helped a lot.
And food. Thanks for bringing food. Especially
yes.
The vegetarian chili. Kathleen, thank you. That was wonderful.
That was really good.
So good.
Really good. I'm excited about this year, though. I mean, 2018, we're going to have a kid, which is
I know.
Awesome. Our first
Scary
son.
And awesome at the same time. I know. I'm so excited.
Yeah,
your
little
Lyra
Jr.
is going to
be running around. Exactly. I hope there's not another one hiding in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey,
no.
Oh, fuck.
We've had too many ultrasounds
for that. I would probably have a heart attack. Yeah, I know.
way too many.
He'd be like fucking Bigfoot, you know? He's very the world's best hide-and-seek player.
It's little baby Houdini.
Exactly.
We'd have
exactly.
Bethesda and Houdini.
There we go. That sounds like some weird like crime fighting team or something. Or like a a crime serial come on like CBS or something. Bethesda and Houdini premieres on Sunday, January 5th.
Houdini.
Or like a law firm or something. Trust the lawyers of Bethesda and Houdini.
Oh, yeah. I like that better.
Your personal injury attorneys, Bethesda and Houdini. Well, I'm looking forward to our interview today. I know we're talking about ourselves here. We get that out the way.
I know.
You know.
Game over.
We got, you know, exactly. We're not here talking about us.
I'm very excited, too.
For our first guest of the year. It's exciting.
That's an honor.
First show of the year. Number one, numero uno. First day of 2018. We've got Amber Nicole coming on the show tonight. She's a medium, and we've got her friends Kent Burkholz and Susan Williamson-Taylor. We're going to talk to them about all their paranormal adventures tonight. Super exciting. And you know,
always
what?
A good time.
What do you think? Should we put them on the show?
Yeah, let's get this show started.
Awesome sauce. Hey, guys.
Hey.
How are you?
Good. How are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Sorry it took so long to get you on.
We're just chit-chatting away, you know.
Yeah, we're recovering from last night.
Ooh, how was your New Year's Eve?
We actually spent it with our paranormal friends. Family,
oh,
we just kind of hung out here, and we just kind of sat around, and we stayed pretty calm.
That sounds just like us.
Yeah. It's the best way to do it.
So
what a better way to
time
spend
time
New Year's Eve.
So,
what's that?
I said, what a better way to spend New Year's Eve, to spend it with your paranormal friends.
Your parafamily.
Yeah. Exactly. That's what they are.
Absolutely.
And
awesome. Our team, we're real close.
That's great. That's how it should be.
Yeah. All the, you know, the good teams are. Everybody's got each other's back, and, you know, it is a family. It's a family. It's a unit.
It's not only our team, but we investigate with several other teams, too, that we're real close with. And we had people from them there, too, with us last night as well.
So all the teams are close by to each other?
Well, not really. I mean, it's a pretty good drive. One of our close teams is 4 hours away. The other one is about 3 hours away, but they came down to spend New Year's Eve with us.
Nice.
See, yeah, we've got that. Yeah, we've got that around here too. There are a couple of teams. It's like two or three teams that we really are close to, and we all get together and we. You know, do what you guys do. We celebrate things together, and we trust each other. It's a big paranormal pair of family. Like Andrew,
yeah.
And that's awesome. So where are you guys located?
We're near Dayton, Ohio.
Okay.
Pretty much
the weather
out
there.
Yeah.
Is it as cold out there right now as it is here? Because it's freezing here. We're like negative temperatures. It's crazy.
I think it's like minus 9.
Oh, my gosh.
No, I don't think it really is. It feels like
no.
It.
Do you guys, you know how I think we had this conversation. I can't remember when it was, but like, do you think the cold weather increases the paranormal activity any or hinders it any?
Well, I don't think it makes any difference. I mean, they can't feel the weather or the temperature.
Yeah. See, I don't either.
You know, I don't think it makes any difference one way or another. We, it was Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah.
One of the other team members from one of the other teams he and I took off and went down to Post Town School in Middletown, Ohio, which is full of activity. And a couple of idiots we were. It was like 19 degrees in the building, and we're investigating, just the two of us. And we were getting a lot of
hardcore
activity, even though, you know, we're freezing our butts off, but we're getting a lot of activity and got a lot of evidence from it. But
I got a question. When would you rather investigate, in the cold, in the winter or the summertime?
Unless it's a residential, you know, and it's nice and heated and comfortable, and you got a cup of coffee in your hand, you know.
Oh,
that's,
yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah, there you go. Or a
true
cabin with heat. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, we used to have that, but not anymore.
But, figures, you know, in the wintertime is when you want to go out and investigate, and you're finding places that don't have any heat or electric or bathrooms, you know, that type of place. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pain.
But winter
being cold
or summer. Yeah.
Only the bad part for, like, the summertime is if you go, like, in the woods, it's so overgrown with, like, you know, briars and poison ivy and bugs everywhere, and you know, that's slightly annoying.
That's what you have new members
for.
You got a point.
The newbies.
They're the ones that
walk first through the woods so that they take out the spider webs.
Exactly.
or I sent Angie out to get rid of all the ticks because they seem to be just jumping on her.
Oh yeah, in the summertime the ticks love me. They they're attracted to me. I wish I knew why.
Well, they share their bright clothing that they won't be attracted to you.
Oh Lord, then I'm just gonna start wearing everything hot pink.
There you go.
Hey, I don't mind that. So how did you guys get together?
Well, actually, Susan and I were on another team together. I was case manager, and she was one of the senior investigators, and we worked for a while together there. And then, it's been, gosh, almost a year ago, we left the team, and I had had a minor cardiac problem, and so I took a medical leave of absence and just decided, well, it was time I started my own team. And when I did, several other people left, and Susan and I hooked up together and started another team. And then we basically started a paranormal class and trained them up the way we wanted to, the way we investigate, and took all new people. We could train them the way we wanted to, and then made our team out of the new people.
Nice. And what's the name of your team?
It's Driot Paranormal.
I just didn't know how to pronounce it.
Yeah, it's an old Celtic word. It means that which is not seen.
Oh, nice. Nice.
How many people do you have on your team?
Right now we have about 12.
And they all went through the paranormal class?
Yes. Yes.
Now, is that something that you continue to do, like new members, or like they kind of, or do you just kind of like train them during investigations?
No, I continue on twice a year giving paranormal classes.
Nice.
Anybody that comes on the team has to go through the class.
Yeah.
It basically, I would rather take somebody from scratch that knows nothing about paranormal investigating and teach them the way we want it done rather than unlearn bad habits.
Yeah, that's hard. It's hard to teach an old dog new tricks.
Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes. You know, it's just a matter of teaching them to investigate the way you want it done.
There's a lot of people in the area that want to be on paranormal group, but unfortunately, you know, our group can only be so big, I guess, right now to a point. So it gives a chance to be able to meet, you know, other people that are interested in the same location and, you know, potentially, you know, start their own and be safe about doing it.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
So that, and you have people who know what they're doing, like you said, and they'll do things the right way. Even if they don't join your team, they'll have a basic understanding of what it means to be a paranormal investigator and how to do things the right way, which I think is great.
Upon completion of the course, we do an investigation, so everybody has a chance, you know, to obviously always work with the equipment, and we essentially sit there and we let them investigate.
Just so they actually get to go on an investigation. It's not all just book work or anything else. It's we actually take them out in the field to investigate and walk them through their first investigation. The last class, we had like a Lollapalooza investigation weekend. We took them to a known haunted house, cemetery that went back to 1742, and the Ohio State Penitentiary, all in one weekend.
Oh, nice. Wow.
So,
wow.
Some of them
that would be fun.
That's a good class. I want to go there, too.
Right? Where can we sign up?
Would you ever think, would you ever consider doing stuff, like, online so people from, like, all over the world can take your classes?
It's on the bucket list. Right now, we've got some people that live in southern Ohio that want to take the class and don't want to make it up here. So we thought about just doing Facebook Live for the class.
Yeah,
so they can
work.
Watch it online.
Yeah.
Facebook
Live, it's so nice.
Or even the YouTube Live. That way, you know, they can, if they miss a class or they want to look back on it, they can always go look it up on YouTube and watch it.
Yeah, that's a possibility too.
We're also currently considering if we get enough members, we will travel and do like a 2-day course rather than stretching it out over 6 weeks. So there's a bunch of people in Middletown that don't want to drive. So we'll go down to Posttown Elementary School and we will teach them, and then they will investigate Posttown, which is pretty exciting. It's a good place to learn.
That is really exciting.
Where
instead
are
of doing,
some of yours
you get,
that you've kind of started out at with your newbies?
Well, like I said, we've taken so far this year, we've been to the Ohio State Reformatory, Coastown School, Old South Central School, which is in Bowling Green, Ohio. Collingwood Performing Arts Center, which is up in Toledo, the old Licking County Jail, which is over in Newark, Ohio, a lot of residentials, and then other special investigations that some have gone on, some haven't. And then we've also done some cleansings in some residentials.
Oh, that's
great. And we even did a cleansing of a church, an active church.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome.
Wow.
See, that's great that you just don't, like, take them to the same place every time. I think it's really, it's awesome that you guys get out and branch out, and, you know, maybe each group gets to go to a different place.
Yeah, that's just it. It's and this year what we're looking to do is 1 month to do residentials, the next month to do the known locations, you know, and continue that through the year so we do 6 known locations and probably 12 to 15 residential.
Plus, it's good to get them out to different so they experience, you know, the residential, how to do things residential, and also how to investigate a public location, because they're different. There are different ways to investigate.
Yeah.
Each location.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
No doubt. You know, personally, I like doing residentials almost better than going to a public location, simply because you never know what's there. You don't know if it's good, bad, indifferent, if it's Grandpa Joe or, you know, Bad Billy.
I prefer residential.
Yeah,
I prefer
you
helping.
You're helping people.
It's not just.
And plus, you have an idea.
It's not just that we're out there just to investigate and compile our evidence into a cloud for the fun of it. We're actually helping people. And then at times, you know, they want to get rid of them, we get rid of them. So.
Now, do you find that more often than not, the people do want to cleanse the house or bless the house or get rid of the spirits, or are they seeming more willing to let it stay as long as they feel that it's not a negative or harmful spirit?
Well, if it's Grandpa Joe, they don't seem to mind too much letting him stay. But if they can't readily, or if we can't readily identify who it is, and they're having malevolent type of activity, they want them gone.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Can you tell us how you got started? And how you guys got actually to the beginning, and how you got interested in the paranormal? Like, what drove you to this, this lifestyle?
Did we drive there, or did they drive to us? Is the question.
Good question.
That's a question for all of us, I think.
Yeah.
Initially, I started doing cleanings of homes, just going in and renting homes of negative energy. Not anything spiritual, not anything paranormal or anything like that, just renting of negative energy. And then in 2011, I suffered a massive cardiac arrest. I was actually dead for 42 minutes. And then
your minor cardiac problem?
Yeah.
That's a little more than minor.
And I woke up weeks later, as the saying goes, I see dead people. I could see, hear, and talk to the dead, and they could see, hear, and talk to me. And so I had a lot of questions. And
of course.
That started me down my paranormal journey, and consequently has led me into a lot more things. Now I also do readings, cleansings, spiritual deliverances from obsessions. I don't do possessions. Don't touch them. I won't go near them. People die during that shit, and I don't want anything to do with it. But I will do it in infestations and obsessions. I'll let everybody else speak too.
I am this is Amber, by the way. I am kind of used to the whole paranormal investigating. I was led there through metaphysics and my abilities, and it was essentially a way to open myself up, and then I realized that a lot of the spirits had a story to tell. And, I mean, they come to us for a reason.
Amen.
Uh-huh.
And that's, they, you know, they need the help just like we do. The good ones, at least. Some of them can be scary. But there's just always been a connection with the dead. I guess you can say through astrology, maybe.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of morbid.
What's your story?
This is Susan. Nice to talk to you all.
Hello.
Hi. I get my thing, and everyone's been a great while here. From about the age of 6 years old on, I had different things occur in my life that were very unexplainable. Dreams, and then I would dream something, and then it would happen. Feeling things, sensing things around me. For a long time, I wouldn't look into something that reflected that, other than, you know, getting ready in the morning for, you know, as far as a mirror goes, but anything else reflective I wouldn't look at, because when I was 6 years old, I looked into a Christmas bulb, one of the glass Christmas bulbs, and something mm-hmm. white came up behind me. And, you know, being only six, 7 years old, that scared the daylights out of me. But then on through life, just different things would happen here and there, and the dreams kept coming, and I started watching the shows, you know, these shows that everybody else started watching. And then I realized what was going on and how spirits do come to you in different ways. And, you know, from there on out, joined up with the paranormal group, and that's where I belong.
You found your home.
I found my home.
Yeah, once you realize that you belong in the paranormal, it's hard to cut. You can't walk away from it. Once you know where you belong, you know it, and it's just.
Yeah. And like in my case, I don't think you can walk away for too long. I think you're always kind of called back.
You're absolutely right.
Now.
You can ignore it, but it'll bring you back.
My favorite question to ask is what is like your bucket list? We'll say, since there's like three of you guys, your top two places that you definitely have to investigate.
That's a hard question.
I know.
Well,
it's my favorite question.
Waverly Hills would be first.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And
we were talking about England.
Yeah, we really want to go to the UK. And, you know, here in America, we've got stuff that's, you know, several hundred years old. I want to go someplace where the history goes back to where you can find spirits that are 1,000 years old.
Yeah, that would be
mm-hmm.
amazing.
You know,
mine would be Scotland.
Yeah. Our trip
That'd
got put
awesome.
On a hiatus for a little while. We would have been there this summer.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we had a little detour on our trip to Europe, but it's okay. It's a good detour.
Amen.
We have a new baby coming. That's a good reason, isn't it?
Yeah, that's
yeah.
our detour. Yeah, we got a little.
It's
going
to be worth it.
Yeah.
I was really looking forward to exploring some of those really old places, like the Anne Boleyn Castle with Helena, and that would have been amazing. All right, who wants to go next? Oh,
I remember one time. I grew up in Germany. My father was military, and all the old castles and everything, but, you know, I wasn't pushed into the paranormal then. But if only I knew then what I know now, they'd have never gotten me out of them.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah. Of course, you know, my problem is I don't speak old German, and and people don't seem to understand that, you know, the ghosts don't automatically learn English when they die. So,
right.
Need somebody to
use Google Translate
with you to speak Celtic and German and everything else.
I'm sure there's an app for it. Just download Google the German to English app on your phone, and you'll be good to go.
We should market that ghosttranslator.com.
Exactly. You know. So when you ask a question, it automatically comes across in that old language. And when you get to EVP, it comes back, you know, in English. So.
See, that's brilliant.
We need to start working on that.
We just made $1 million.
Exactly.
There we go. We
exactly.
need someone to do all the work and actually make it, you know, work. We're the idea people.
Me.
All right, we can't do everything here. All right.
We're the wheelhouse.
That's right.
Exactly.
The wheelhouse.
How about, is anybody else? Anybody else have any cool locations they want to visit?
I enjoyed going to South Central just this past couple months ago.
Yeah.
That's a new location, and we were the first paranormal team to investigate it. You know, other than the team that resides in it, and so. I kind of have a feeling like when we go into the controlled area, they tend to run from you because, you know, they're tired of people looking at them as they're at, you know, the zoo. But
yeah.
South Central, I was very, very active. We got great stuff. That was where they played the instruments.
Yeah.
And I believe it was because we were the first ones in. The initial, you know, or the end conclusion finding, that spirit appeared and told a story, you know, 10 minutes upon arrival. And then, you know, we obviously backed it up with scientific. So, yeah, down in the music room, what did they play?
A piano.
A piano, a guitar.
And a guitar.
Yeah.
Tuba and a guitar.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I find it interesting what you said about the spirits not liking to be treated like they're animals in a zoo. And I think I like the way you put that, because I think sometimes when we go on these investigations to these public locations, you know, we just expect things to happen. You know,
yeah,
and then
I'm
people
here.
Ask
you
the same
right
questions over and over and over again.
Are you dead? Do you know you're dead?
Yeah.
And they've been,
yeah.
They've been told
what's your name?
That's my number one least
all...
favorite question, by the way.
But it's hard because you're talking to yourself, essentially, because unless you get a response. It's hard to think of other questions. I try to ask different questions, and sometimes, like some investigators talk to these spirits like they're 3 years old. Can you touch the light?
Yeah,
very good. I'm like, I mean, sometimes they are 3 years old, but it's like every time they talk to them, it's like you're talking to a 5 year old.
Are sitting back, going like, yeah, and.
Yeah.
They're looking at us like, what the fuck?
If they could, they just walk slapping in the face.
Yeah, like, I love St. Albans,
exactly.
But I feel like that sometimes when we go there, that kind of like, you know, the spirits are just tired of this. Like, really? Ooh. This again? More people?
I got upset, like, my first, some of the first, like, you know, controlled ones, because, I mean, you could walk in and you would feel it, like, in the, you know, in the tour. And then, you know, when you're on your own, you walk in, and you could literally just feel them walk past you and leave. And I mean, they actually just, at Coastown, and he was investigating, he actually got a picture of one hiding around the corner. So, because that's what they do.
Oh, I know one place, or Ryan, where's the one place that I really have to go, that I really want to go?
The Winchester Mystery House.
I'm obsessed with that place. I really want to go so bad, but I feel like it would be kind of one of those places too.
I don't know. I've seen it on television stuff. I just don't get a feeling for that. I think it'd be a cool architectural vibe.
That's what draws me the most, is the whole architecture.
Yeah.
And the, you know, stairs to nowhere.
You know,
that's a sad, tragic
story more than.
It is an amazing, beautiful house, and the reason why they built it like that, just wow.
Well,
for me, the bad
like that because she was told by, I think it's by a psychic, an alleged psychic, that as long as she continued construction on the house, that no harm would come to her.
As long as she spent all the money.
Yeah, and so constantly she just had crews in there building on the house. There's stairwells and doors that go nowhere.
Oh, I can't wait. I'd be the one that fell out of one of those doors to nowhere, though, just letting you know, because I have to touch and open everything I see.
Well,
just
up,
just look before you step out of it.
Yeah.
Watch where you step.
Exactly.
Right.
So really exciting.
So have
sometimes
you ever...
we do offers for, like, we'll find, like, you know, we'll just make a networking connection, and we'll find old warehouses that they're like, sure, come on in, you know.
Oh, yeah, a friend of ours has a store who that's like, you know, it's, well, wasn't his old store kind of like had some things going on there,
oh,
too?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But it's an antique place.
His old store.
So
that's kind of reasonable.
But, yeah, that's really awesome.
Yeah, we were out
random places.
We are also a metaphysical shop store. And we're looking for storefront locations. And just a couple days ago, we were downtown and looking at some space downtown and mentioned what we did. And she's like, well, you want to see something cool?
No.
And starts taking us to this building. And there's like 6 floors of emptiness. And being a medium, I mean, oh, my God, opened up doors and you could just see shadows moving and things screaming in your face, get out, get out, get out. And
if you would have saw us, you would have thought that we were winning the lottery. Every time she opened the door, we were like, oh my gosh.
And so Amber says,
it's so exciting.
Have you ever investigated the place? And she's like, no, but you know, and she said, could we do it? And she's like, well, I don't care. So we're like, yes.
Yeah, and then, by the way, there's
that is awesome.
Buildings next door that we have to. So, and it is an old Dayton, and there's a lot of history in Dayton.
Have you ever been scared during it, like really scared during an investigation?
I haven't.
No, I've been physically attacked. As far as choke, scratch, push, but I've never really been scared. No.
No, but
what's
that
your? What's your favorite piece of equipment to use when you're investigating?
Audio recorder.
Other than just being me, I would say my digital recorder.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of have a dedicated videographer that just shoots pictures. Excuse me. So it's not something we take a lot of time doing, is shooting pictures or video, because we always have somebody mm-hmm. doing that. So it gives us time to do other things.
I'm a photographer by, I guess, heart. So I really enjoy getting into the big buildings, not just for the, you know, the big ghost catches, but for the old structure and the beauty of the building. That's kind of my thing.
Mm-hmm. They don't make the buildings like they used to, that's for sure.
No. Not at all. As far as, like, each of one of your own, like, special abilities or, like, special skills, what is, like, the one thing that you feel like, I don't know if this question is really going to make sense, but you feel like you use the most, like, as far as, like, Ryan, he can walk into a room and he can get an EVP before anybody. Like, I don't know what it is about him, but the spirits just talk when he's around. Me, I'm really good at kind of, like, focusing in and just sensing, like, yes, it's here, it's right here, and, like, kind of talking to them in my mind. Like, what's your favorite thing to do, I guess, when you first start an investigation?
Well, the first thing we'll do is without grabbing all the equipment and everything else, I have the team members just walk around the house, outside and inside, just to see what they can see, hear, feel, taste, touch, and then give me an initial opinion of what they, you know, just come through as. Because it's not fair for me to walk into a place and be there 5 minutes and say, okay, here's what's here. So-and-so, because I can see them, or I can hear them.
Yeah.
I want to be able to go to the client and say, here's what is here, and here's proof. And we lay out, you know, put a flash drive in of the EVPs, of the video, of everything we have, and include the narrative of what we found in their resume. I'm real good at listening to and deciphering EVPs.
Other
you're
than
good at it,
the
you enjoy
it. In Ohio. Possibly the U.S. It's pretty good. I think one of my favorites is talking to the children's spirits.
Oh, yeah.
I mm-hmm. seem to pull them out pretty good.
Yeah. Me too. They seem to be kind of drawn to me. Do you feel like that? They're just drawn to you?
Yes. I know down in Post Town, was down in the boiler room. Another teammate and I were sitting there, and there's a little girl down there, and I heard her as we turned around to walk away. And when we played the voice recorder back, she said, "Mommy."
Mm-hmm.
I told her we would. So it was, that was just one of the incidences, but it was very neat. My
favorite,
awesome. A feeling person. So my favorite is to actually walk into the room with no equipment and to feel everything. And then, you know, also I'm still learning, you know, honing in on my abilities. So it's fun discovering what is in my third eye and, you know, what isn't, what I'm seeing, what I'm hearing, and then verifying it scientifically. Because I was also a scientist for 20 years, so it's hard for me. I'm like the psychic that always wants to debunk.
Oh, my gosh, you and me both. Ryan gets so mad at me sometimes.
The one
science
thing
rocks.
Is we go in without any preconceived ideas. You know, a lot of people will walk in with preconceived notions and build their evidence around that notion.
We don't look at the history.
You know, I was police officer. That's what I did. That was what I did before I had my heart attack. So I'm used to running investigations. I build my evidence to make a case. And that's what we do with this team. We make our evidence to make a case. We don't have a case and then build our evidence around it.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't go by lore. We don't go by myth. We don't go by tale. We walk in fresh with open eyes, open ears, open ideas as to what is there. And because a lot of times it's not what a lot of people think.
Yeah, we don't want to be influenced by other people's stories.
No.
Too, you know,
no.
You want to get your own evidence.
After an investigation at the end of the night, I enjoy walking through and looking at the books after the fact to see what everybody has seen or heard, if it's filled in, just to kind of see, you know, because it's curious to see, you know, how, you know, dead on everybody is with each other. But not till the end.
Yeah. See if they kind of match up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, when you guys investigate, do you guys use, like, protection?
Oh, yeah. Yes. As a matter of fact,
We will try not to make a joke about that, because last night
I was just thinking in my head.
Yeah, lots of training.
Yeah, I kind of walked into that one.
As a matter of fact, I wear a black tourmaline bracelet all the time for protection going into spaces occupied other than the living. We have one of our team members who makes crystallized oil. And there'll be black tourmaline oil, that kind of thing. And you can put it on the back of your neck, on your wrists, and things like that for protection. Most of us wear crucifixes, St. Michael's medals. We do.
I have a quartz cross program.
Yeah, quartz crosses. We do St. Michael's prayer going in. We do a cleansing prayer coming out. And I will check everybody as they walk past me to make sure they haven't gotten an attachment or somebody didn't follow us out.
That's also another of the continuing education that the team gets.
Mm-hmm.
You would be surprised.
Yeah, that's, I think a lot of people need.
Not know about protection.
Yeah, a lot
oh,
of people need to know about that. That's something people
that's
all
important.
Lax on. You know?
Yeah, it can be scary.
Yeah.
It
especially
is.
Especially
when
you're
exactly right.
For other people. So, I mean, if
no
one of our team
that.
Members you know, aren't protecting themselves, you know, that kind of gives us a weak link.
You're only as good as
yeah.
your weakest link. That, yeah.
And then
you
the same.
Wanna,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was saying you definitely want to be like have a strong united front and definitely just all be on the same page when it comes to going on investigations.
We recently, it was about a month ago. It was me and Susan and two other female members. We went and we did a cleansing, and Susan and Kent, they had already done the investigation. Kent had crossed, you know, a couple spirits, and, you know, he was under the impression that there was only, you know, two or three more in there, and it was just an in-and-out deal, you know, cleanse and, you know, get out of there. And when we got there, it was very apparent that more had come. And we cleansed. We thought, you know, we did everything that we were supposed to. We said our prayers. We used protection.
It felt better.
It felt better. And then we went home. And when Susan and Annette called Kent on the cell phone to, you know, tell him about the night, Ken could hear, you know, a spirit in the background taunting him. It was a spirit that had followed Susan and Annette home from the cleansing. So now we use smudge clay in our cars as well after we leave. Because Annette, she's the one that makes the crystal-infused oil. She also makes smudge sprays so you don't have to burn for cleansing.
That's helpful.
Yeah.
Definitely. Well, guys, we're getting close to the end of the interview. So I've got one more question to ask. I'll get Andrea to ask her question. What do you think is the best part about being involved in the paranormal?
I would say networking, hands down, meeting all the other new teams.
I'd say helping people.
Getting questions answered that I've had forever.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, for every one question you get answered, you get 10 more that come up.
Yeah.
About
yeah. More questions than answers, that's for sure.
Yes, definitely.
So I think it's a group consensus that we enjoy helping people out of bad situations in their homes. And taking a glimpse of what lies ahead for all of us, because none of us get out of here alive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to bore you guys with the. Oh, what? Did everybody finish? Did I jump in?
No. Yes, we are. That's just the dogs.
Oh, good. So cute. I won't bore you with another question. I just really want to thank you guys for your, you know, contributions that you're making to this paranormal world. I mean, it seems like with your classes and you guys are really forming a really good team and, you know, are actually doing great things, you know, helping people and teaching. So thanks. Thanks a lot. We need
well,
a lot more
welcome.
Teams like that.
It's we're trying to educate the teams. We're trying to educate the public, so we don't come off as so woo woo and strange to the public anymore.
Yeah, that's definitely great.
Yeah, we definitely. It's definitely great. You're taking the time to educate. You know, people who are interested in becoming paranormal investigators, so they'll do things the right way and not, you know, give paranormal investigating a bad name. We've got 90 seconds left, guys. I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. And
thanks,
guys. On our New Year's Day special. New Year's Eve.
Thanks for having us. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Happy New Year.
Thanks again, guys. And keep us posted on when you have your YouTube, when you do your Facebook Live, education, your teaching series, I'd like to watch it.
Yeah, definitely.
Happy New Year!
All right, guys.
Have
a great year. You guys take care.
Okay. Bye now.
Good night.
So cute.
Good night.
You know, that's going to be us in a few months. Or no, like,
yeah,
you know, a year.
No, well, shoot. In a few months, it'll be the boy will be screaming, probably.
I know. We'll be trying to do
so
the show
with
screaming baby in the background.
We're going to have to invest in earphones or something. Well, okay, Kimmy, get the baby. We're doing a show here. Gosh. You got to talk to our paranormal people. You got to talk to our freaks.
Got to keep the dream alive.
Hell yeah, baby. All right. It was good having you back on the show tonight. Well, we don't know who we're having on next week, but I'm sure it'll be freaking awesome. Maybe we'll do Supernatural News. I don't know. So have a good night. We'll see you next week.
Too.
Same freaking awesome time. Same freaking awesome channel. Love you. And
love you. Happy New Year, everybody.
Later. Happy New Year. Woo!